needed a reason to be optimistic, I'm going to give you a few right now. Okay. Friday, 5 p.m., beautiful day.
American Hit Radio.
American Hit Radio.
Bam. Just like that.
Why not? The happiest of happy hours.
Maybe in that order. Not necessarily,
though. Week for this moment. Great to be here. I'm Tom Ryan, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well for the Friday edition of our show, American Hit Radio.
Believe the hype.
We've been running a series now for a number of years. It's pretty amazing how long we've been doing this, how music changed thing now. I look back, I believe it's something like 8 or 9 years we've been doing this show already on Fridays. That's pretty incredible. It doesn't, it really doesn't
Pinch
feel that
Coke,
long to
yell me.
Me
a Coke.
I kind of feel right. In my head, it feels like we've been doing this for about maybe 2.5, 3 years. It's crazy. Time flies. But the whole idea is us basically running through what we consider to be some of the most important aspects of recorded music. What's happened in the entire history of music from its actual inception, from the day that Thomas Edison sang Mary Had a Little Lamb, which is actually the very first thing that we started this program with.
That's right.
Right on up to the present. 250 specific topics. And the one that we are covering for the past few weeks, and this is our summation, our final show dedicated to the Piedmont. And it kind of feels like the end of a vacation for me. You know that feeling you get when you're having a lot of fun doing something and it's just going great? You just want to...
But you're exhausted and you got to get home and get some real rest?
It's more the other way. Like, I just like this. I don't want to go home. I want to stay here. The Piedmont has been great because, I mean, of course, doing this series, I feel like part of what we're trying to do is educate our audience, you know, with fun, you know, basically... What's the word? Edutainment, I believe is the word that is sometimes used.
Okay.
But it's the same for me. I mean, I'm learning as I go as well.
I'm edutained too.
I mean, I knew very little about the Piedmont until we started this series, and it's been just fabulous. It's been a lot of fun. There's so much to discover and learn in these segments. And it's the music has been, you know, both joyous and entertaining. And for blues, that's rather interesting because usually the word joyous isn't part of it. But it just amazes me how the Piedmont region's music has managed to fly below the radar for so many years. But I hope that these shows in some small way conveyed the timeless excellence and the enormous influence that this region had on the subsequent development of popular music. So let's pick up where we left off last week. We were trying to cover as much as we could, including a segment on Reverend Gary Davis, and we ran out of time. So let's pick up on the tracks that we didn't get to play by Reverend Gary Davis. You might know this one. This has been performed by many other people. Here it is from the original source, though, the original version of Cocaine Blues. Thank you. Latter-day recordings there from the Reverend Gary Davis. Instrumental tracks, as you could tell, obviously. played in the traditional Piedmont style, though, with lots of finger-picking. Cocaine Blues and Hesitation Blues were the two songs that we had heard there by Reverend Gary Davis, one of the bigger stars of the region. Now we move on to somebody by the name of Pink Anderson, another South Carolinian around the Spartanburg area. Didn't record very much. In fact, from what I understand, he's in his own words, he says that he was involved in 27 recordings, but many of them were as a backup for other people, like Blind Boy Fuller and such. There's a few that he's got credit for on his own, and a couple of them that are quite famous, actually. But the thing that he's most well known for is being responsible for the name of the rock band Pink Floyd.
Huh.
What had happened was Syd Barrett, then, you know, forming the band, needed a name. And he was going through a book that was had a chapter on Piedmont blues. And there was a section that said that there were a lot of blues players in the area, people like Curly Weaver, Fred McMullen, Pink Anderson, and Floyd Consul, who were just a few among the many blues singers that could be heard in the rolling hills of the Piedmont. That was the quote of the book. Mm-hmm. So what Syd did was he just grabbed the names Floyd Consul, Pink Anderson, threw them together and said, we're Pink Floyd. Rather odd and simple. Now, Floyd is one of those guys that you hear about more than anything. I believe that he recorded very little. Very well. I'm sorry. You know what? In fact, the fact that I had just given you was in related directly to Floyd Consul. I'm sorry, more than Pink Anderson. Pink Anderson did have a few more recordings. Floyd never even had an album out in his own name. There was never an exclusive CD of his material. That's not true with Pink Anderson. Pink Anderson's a bit more...
I don't think it would have come out in the CD format, but okay.
Well, that's true. Not in its time. Absolutely not. But here's a track that you might know by Pink Anderson. This is called Chicken.
I tried something here the other night. I'm sure gonna try some more. I'm gonna try the same thing here in this town, and I know I'll be a winner show. I put my sack right on my back, walked out late one night. I filled that sack full of flour, and I did not have to fight. There was chicken, chicken, he can go up in the balloon. Chicken, chicken, he can hide behind the moon. Chicken, chicken, I ain't gonna let you be. I got a $40 warrant for the chicken tonight. He can't roost too high for me. I ain't had no use for a chicken since one night well last spring. A sitting hen bit my partner cause he stepped on a wing. The police come to see us about it and they snatched us all around. I never expect to rest contented now till I eat every chicken in town. This chicken, I love him too. Chicken, he can go up in the balloon. Chicken, chicken, he can hide behind the moon. Chicken, shoo, I ain't gonna let you be. I got a $40 warrant for the chicken tonight. He can't roost too high for me. I love my chicken, indeed I do. To your hen roost I will go. If you got any fat pullets sitting up high, they'll soon be mine, you know. The chief police and the big bulldog were sleeping side by side. I grabbed me a chicken by the wing and through the crack I cried. I don't care if you don't never wake up, this fire was in my hand. You don't stand no show of catch a disrespectable, roguish man. I'm not scared of your knives and guns, much less that lazy pup. You can keep on stealing while the rogue is creeping. We don't care if you don't never wake up. Yes, it's chicken, chicken, he can go up in the balloon. Chicken, chicken, he can hide behind the moon, but I'll find him. Chicken, shoo, I ain't gonna let you be. I got a $40 warrant for the chicken tonight. He can't roost too high for me. Well, there's so much trouble in this land, I don't know how I feel. Look like all of my friends around me have learned how to steal. When they steal a chicken, the chicken he'll holler just like a goat. When that chicken holler, he'll twist his neck and then shove him up on his coat. Then his chicken, he can go out in the balloon. Chicken, he can hide behind the moon. Chicken, shoo, I ain't gonna let you be. I got a $40 warrant for the chicken tonight. He can't roost too high for me.
Pink Anderson with Chicken. A lot of songs about chicken. They all have a similar feel, too. Yeah, I noticed, you know, similar sort of a tempo. Now, speaking of which, Pink Anderson, you can sometimes recognize his tunes more or less just by the progression, because there's another song I want to play by him now. You'll notice it has like a very similar cadence to the song we had just heard, but it's genuinely funny. It's a really great song. A song, it's called I Got Mine, basically about winning at gambling. And then how you can take that phrase and turn it around to mean a couple of other different things. And it becomes very clever. You can tell that the man is he's a sharp guy, Pink Anderson. And this song was eventually covered by Ry Cooder. And Ry Cooder caught every ounce of the humor in the track. So here's Pink Anderson singing, I Got Mine.
I went down to a big crab game, certain was against my will. I lost every doggone nickel I had, but a greenback dollar bill. A $40 bet laying on the floor, and my buddy's point was nine. When the police come, he caught all of us, but I got mine. Yeah, I got mine, let me tell ya, I got mine. Grabbed that money out the back door, I went flying. Ever since the big crap game, I've been a living off chicken and wine. I'm a leader of the high society people, I got mine. Then I went down to a turkey feast, and the dinner was certainly fine. 15 minutes before the table set, all the jitterbugs fell in line. When they brought them gobblers in, of them rascals I did shine. Talking about a rascal I grabbed in, I got mine, yeah. I got mine, let me tell ya, I got mine. I grabbed that turkey by the wing out the window, I went flying. I tried to make it to a hiding place, but I didn't get there in time. Only rascal grabbed me by the coat, but I got mine. I know a barbershop is over in town, up here on Long Walford Street. It's the only place on a Saturday night those gamblers care to meet. Some comes in for a haircut while others come for a scrap. But when you see me and my buddy up there, we mean to shoot some crap. We're hollering 7-11, won't you come, come, come. And if you don't 7-11 die, I'm done, done, done. If I see the police for he sees me, I'm gonna run, run, run. Cause I'm a leader of the high society, buddy. I got mine, yeah. I got mine, let me tell you. I got mine. I got it all as good folks who've been playing all the time. Some of the boys got 30 days, and some of the boys got 9. When they brought them stripes in the next morning, I got mine. I went to my best girl's house last night, the hour just about 9. I wasn't dressed up like Henry Ford, but I was feeling just as fine. I caught her sitting in another rascal's lap, and I didn't like that sign. I told that rascal what I thought about him, and I got mine, yeah, I got mine. What was it? I got mine. I grabbed my hat out the back door. I went flying. That rascal grabbed a shotgun, folks, and then used it mighty fine. Talking about a rascal running people, I got mine.
Pink Anderson there. Wish I could spend more time on some of these characters. There's so many that I'd love to do. One that I really wish that I it's funny. I mean, the next guy I want to cover for a few tracks here now, his name is Josh White. And you ever hear of him, Heidi?
No.
That's crazy to me that he's not incredibly well known. When I start, I'm going to give you some of his history now, and it's just mind-bogglingly astounding. That this guy isn't like a name as well known as Woody Guthrie or something like that, I mean, or Pete Seeger. He's out of the Piedmont, Greenville, South Carolina, raised by his parents, very proper parents. And when he was a little boy, though, his father, a white bill collector, came to the door and was rudely insisting that he pays for something. So his father threw the white bill collector out of his home. They went back and they beat his father so badly that he nearly died. They took him and they ended up locking him up in a mental institution for the next 9 years until he died in it. So he was basically raised without a father. After that, he began to work for a black street singer. And what he would do is he would collect the coins for the performances and take tips. But, basically he's working literally for nickels a day. And he was doing this for a long period of time. And then what happened was different blind street singers, including Blind Blake, who we started our show with this whole series, I think it was the first person we covered, and Blind Joe Taggart, I believe we covered him as well. All of these guys were basically using Josh White as like somebody to dance and to help collect attention because he was a little kid. 10, 11 years old, everybody thought was cute. So the people come up and they throw them money. So they would go and they would travel and they'd bring him with them. They wouldn't let him buy clothes because they wanted him to look ratty.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have no shoes, didn't own any, no pants. He had like ripped up pair of shorts, short pants. That's all that he had to his name. And when they would basically do these gigs, the employees would, the people like Blind Blake or whatever would sleep in a black hotel and Josh White would be sleeping in horse stables.
Oh, dear.
Till the next day.
Wow.
At one point, a producer for Paramount Records got wind of what was going on. And and he actually found out because he is actually recording with Blind Joe Taggart on some of his tracks. And that's what makes Josh White literally the youngest recorded artist of the whole Race Records era. He was being recorded before he was 15 years old.
Wow.
Still shoeless, still sleeping in horse stables, living in horse stables. And then William basically found it. He basically told that if these guys didn't pay White for his recording services, he was going to call the authorities and have them arrested for indentured servitude for keeping the boy out of school. So they basically, let him out for a while, basically let him off the hook. And finally, he started to get paid for some of the recordings they had made for the first time in his life. He was able to buy clothes.
That's insane.
Totally crazy, right? Now, by 1930, he moves up to New York. He's not even 18 years old yet. And the record companies basically wanted to convince his mother to let him come up to record. And she insists that they will only do it if he records religious songs. He's not going to be able to sing the devil's music. So he comes to New York, and he becomes known as Joshua White, the singing Christian. And he releases a number of records that, just up, maybe from pre-18, around the age of 18 when he was doing all this. But then they wanted to basically get him back to singing blues records because they knew it would make more money. So they basically gave him a new contract under a different name, this time calling him Pinewood Tom. And he was able to basically release some records as the Singing Christian and others as Pinewood Tom. He would start now playing all over New York City, playing around Harlem and such. Let's play a track, and I'll tell you the rest of the story as if we hear a track or two from, let's play this one track by Josh White. This is called Greenville Chic.
All the Greenville kids, my name, folks, I'm trying to introduce myself to you. The Greenville kid is my name, trying to introduce myself to you. Says I'm all hot and bothered, I don't know what to do. Says the kid's not so hot and the Greenville kid's not so cold. Greenville kid's not so hot, Lord, the kid is not so cold. He's got the many girls that worry about him deep down in their soul. I'm a young, healthy kid, but it's my girl what's worrying me so. I'm a young, healthy kid, it's my girl what's worrying me so. I wouldn't be feel so low down, but I can't see my girl no more. Yeah, I am in this big city and I'm doing the level best I can. Yeah, I am in this big city. Ooh, 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 ooh. If I keep on worrying about act a fool, go back home again. Set the cards on the table, they talk to the kid like a natural man. Cards laid on the table, they talk to me like a natural man. Said I'm joking with hugging my woman, that's something I can't understand. All the kids down in mind, cause he left the girl he left behind. Kids down in the heart, he left the girl he left behind. Trying to do the best he can, but she stays right on my mind.
All right, early Josh White there, performing a song called Greenville Chic. Now, let me continue the story with that immense poverty that we were speaking about, the point where he doesn't even have anything but one pair of shorts to wear. Now he's in New York playing around various shows, house parties, and a lot of different clubs up and around the Harlem area where he's playing. At one point in time, he actually damaged his hand so bad that he got hurt in a bar fight or something. Mm. And he ended up getting gangrene in his hand.
Oh, dear.
The doctors basically recommended that he amputate it. And they told him over and over again, you have to amputate it. You have to, and he absolutely refused. He goes, no, I'm not going to amputate it. And basically, his hand was made totally immobile. So he ended up having to stop recording for about 5 to 10 years, a very long period of time. He had to work as an elevator operator, building superintendent. And all that time, he would walk around with a small rubber ball trying to see if he could bring his hand back to life. And eventually, actually he said it happened during a card game, oddly enough, he started to, like, he noticed that his hand suddenly seemed to come back. So he started practicing guitar again. And then he put together a group, and that's when he started playing around Harlem. Now we're at about 1938, say. Now he's maybe in his late 20s. At some point, He's playing at a New Year's Eve party, and a Broadway director was trying to was putting together a show called John Henry. And what they were looking for was somebody to basically play the role of basically a narrator who would walk back and forth on the stage and tell the story, basically pretend to be a blind Lemon Jefferson. You would, that would be his role. And he would tell the story of John Henry as a traveling minstrel. And the problem with that they had was that they couldn't find anybody in New York who was appropriate for the role. Nobody seemed to be able to do it. So this guy sees Josh White playing and is like, oh my God, he's perfect. So they ended up at the same time, I'm telling the story a little bit out of sequence, but what they started trying to do is say, you know what we really have got to do is we've got to find somebody on these race records, and because they obviously can sing, and we'll just find them, we'll bring them up here and have them audition. So they start listening, and they decide on two different people who would be perfect for the role. One of them is a guy named Pinewood Tom, which is him under his other name, and the other one is the guy named the Singing Christian. So they both him. So right. They end up, when they see him in Harlem, it's decided, obviously he's hired, and now all of a sudden he finds himself on Broadway.
That's crazy.
With Paul Robeson. It's unbelievable. It's so now his wife, his career begins to take off, and now he's playing concerts with people like Lead Belly, Burl Ives, the Golden Gate Quartet.
Wow, he leapt. His career leapt.
Totally crazy. Woody Guthrie basically hears him and refers to him, calls Josh White the Joe Louis of the blues guitar. You know? So now he becomes immensely famous.
Wow.
He's huge. He ends up forming a duo at this point, this is crazy too, with a white woman named Libby Holman. They become the first mixed race male and female artists to ever record or perform together in contemporary history. I mean, just
that's pretty insane.
No knowledge of that ever happening before. And they performed for about the next 6 years doing this. Now, meanwhile, Josh White starts to put out records which are about the black plight and what had been happening basically throughout history. He came from it. He knew it firsthand.
Sure.
So it was not a reach for him to basically put out an album, for example, that was called Chain Gang. And because it's on, I believe it was on the Blue Note label, and for whatever reason, the distributors, this was now going out to radio stations because he's famous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to Southern radio stations.
Oh, boy.
Huge amount of resentment about this. There's a bit of a backlash. They begin to feel as though they want to basically stop this from, there's political backlash to the point where Josh White is having complaints. In fact, the complaints go so far that they reach the desk of President Franklin Roosevelt.
Oh, my.
And they're asking Roosevelt to do something about it. What ends up happening is Roosevelt ends up getting to know Josh White. They become friends. And a month later, he's performing at President Roosevelt's inauguration in Washington.
My. That's wild.
It's just about the way his career shot up. How do we not know about this guy now? It just amazes me. Here's a track about pretty much one of the political songs that we're talking about. This is called Freedom Road.
That's why I'm marching, yes, I'm marching, marching down Freedom's Road. Ain't nobody gonna stop me, nobody gonna keep me from marching down Freedom's Road. Hand me my gun, let the bugle blow loud. I'm on my way with my head up proud. One objective I've got in view is to keep a hold of freedom for me and you. That's why I'm marching, yes, I'm marching, marching down Freedom's Road. Ain't nobody gonna stop me, nobody gonna keep me from marching down Freedom's Road. Ought to be plain as the nose on your face, there's room in this land for every race. Some folk think that freedom just ain't right, those are the very people I want to fight. That's why I'm marching, yes, I'm marching, marching down Freedom's control. Ain't nobody gonna stop me, nobody gonna keep me from marching down freedom's road. Now hit the may red hero, he too may raid. I'm going after freedom if it leads me to my grave. That's why I'm marching, yes I'm marching. I'm marching down freedom's road. United we stand, divided we fall. Let's make this land safe for one and all. I've got a message and you know it's right. Black and white together unite and fight. That's why I'm marching, yes I'm marching. Marching down freedom's road. Ain't no fascist gonna stop me, no Nazis gonna keep me from marching down freedom's road.
This is why the people in the South were freaking
out.
Oh,
yeah.
And the thing is, it's coming from a man who is immensely good-looking with a tremendous amount of sexual charisma. The women were loving him. And the fact that he was performing for a while with a white woman, there was so many things that about him that was making racists very angry.
Yeah, Jim Crow South was not having it.
In the meanwhile, his career just gets better and better. He has a huge hit called One Meatball, sells millions, one of the biggest selling records in the entire history of race records. He ends up recording the song John Henry with New Words of Music to his own. He's sophisticated enough in his playing and in his style that he can do Cole Porter tracks. He had a hit with Miss Otis Regrets. He wrote a version with he's the guy that wrote the new words for House of the Rising Sun.
Oh,
that was
wow.
Eventually covered by Woody Guthrie and Bob Dylan and the Animals, Dave Van. That all stems back to Josh White. How do we not know this guy? You know what I mean? It's what? It's crazy. He ends up with a national radio show. He ends up as a film star, appearing in a whole bunch of films, and he ends up in literally Cafe Society. That was the name of a nightclub now in Greenwich Village. Here's where the trouble starts. It was a nightclub that basically featured a lot of, performers. Normally, I say left-leaning performers, people who would think about progression, basically progressive people. It was Billie Holiday was a regular there, and he got to know an awful lot of people by playing at this place called Cafe Society. Now, while he's there, and he becomes a good friend of Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. He has Thanksgiving dinner with the president, Roosevelt actually sat him down. I mean, there's actually a conversation. Roosevelt actually, this is taken from Roosevelt's own records, where he brought White down. He was recalling his first meeting, and he was to talk with him. And this is how, basically, he was asking him about what life was like growing up in the Jim Crow South, especially since he was singing so many songs about trying to make things right.
Mm-hmm.
And the president says to him, Josh, when I first heard your song, Uncle Sam Says, I thought you were referring to me as Uncle Sam. Am I right? And White responded, yes, Mr. President. I wrote that song to you after seeing how my brother was treated in the segregated section of Fort Dix Army Camp. However, that wasn't the first song I wrote to you. In 1933, I wrote and recorded a song called Low Cotton about the plight of Negro cotton pickers down south. And in the lyrics, I made an appeal directly to you to help with their situation. The president was shocked by his candor.
Wow.
And they ended up saying, he basically had him around and said, you're going to be the you're going to be my person who I want to go to for these issues.
Right. I'm going to liaise with you.
Now, in the meantime, he's now traveling. Eleanor Roosevelt hires his brother to become his brother, William. He becomes Eleanor Roosevelt's personal assistant, house manager, and chauffeur for the rest of her entire life. They're this close. He ends up going to Europe, where he, as a performer, he can't perform in clubs. He's so popular that they put him in soccer stadiums.
Oh,
he plays to 50,000 people.
How could anybody have heard him? They didn't have amplification, really.
Well, by this point, we're in about 1950.
Oh, okay.
So he's huge. But what else is happening in 1950? Well, of course, this is now after the war. And the country that was once our big ally in the war, the Soviet Union, suddenly became our enemy. And all of these people who were politically involved in cafe society, mm-hmm. who were talking about freedom and maybe communism as being a good thing for America, well, that all begins to turn against them in a matter of 1 year. Josh knew all these people, and he was an activist. He was never a communist, but he was an activist for the black cause. But now this this organization called Red Channels puts out a magazine where they list 151 different artists who they say they label them as communist sympathizers.
Oh.
So now White's got a problem. He's in Europe at the peak of his career. He's got to come back to America to see if he can clear his name. He lands at the airport, Kennedy, then at the time called Idlewild Airport. FBI meets him, and they basically hold him and interrogate him for hours to find out if they're going to even let him back into the country.
That's
because
insane.
He's instantly, overnight, but considered a subversive.
Vilified.
So the right-wing media, basically because of this whole Red Scare stuff, focuses on anybody who was a part of cafe society in Greenwich Village in Manhattan. The club is eventually forced to shut down. And White is now basically running scared. His whole life is in jeopardy right now. He was never a communist, never even remotely active in the party, but he was only active as an activist for the black cause. So he ends up getting called to speak before the House Un-American Committee, HUAC. And he even asks Eleanor Roosevelt, should I do this? And she says, if they could get me, they'd get me. If I were you, I wouldn't do it. But they're threatening to jail him. They're threatening to take him away from his family. He feels severely pressured to have to do something. In the meantime, FBI files are getting blacked out by the government. And it is believed that the FBI was so displeased with his prowess with white women that they used it against him. And they basically trumped up charges of violating the Mann Act for transporting women across state lines for immoral purposes.
Oh.
This is what they were going to do to him to get him into jail because they didn't like his politics.
To break him.
Right. So he ends up speaking before the House Un-American Activities Committee. As a result now, because he was so active on the left, now the leftists see him as a traitor as well. He's despised on both sides of the coin. He's blacklisted by the right. He lost all his shows, lost his job, lost his recording contract, and now the left refuses to hire him and use him for anything because they considered him traitorous, although he never gave any names. He never did anything, but just basically they disavowed him because they didn't like the fact that he acknowledged them by even going to speak to them. He wasn't allowed to appear on U.S. television for 15 years.
Oh.
Imagine, just from 1948 until 1963.
They wrecked him.
So sad, which might have a lot to do with why we don't know who he is now. But I just thought it's such an amazing arc of a career for somebody who was once so incredibly famous and had it all. And it was basically crooked politics that brought him down. Here's one more track by Josh White, his version of Motherless Children.
Motherless children have a hard time when the mother is dead. Motherless children have a hard time when the mother is dead. They don't have nowhere to go, got to go from door to door. Motherless children have a hard time when the mother is dead. Friends can't treat you like your mother do when your mother is dead. Friend can't treat you like your mother do when your mother is dead. Friend can't treat you like your mother do, cause your friend don't understand. Motherless children have a hard time when their mother is dead. Thank you.
dad don't treat you like your mother do when your father is dead. Dad can't treat you like your mother do when your mother is dead. Dad can't treat you like your mother do, cause your dad don't understand. Motherless children have a hard time when the father is dead. All motherless children have a hard time when the father is dead. Motherless children have a hard time when the father is dead. All motherless children have a hard time when the mother is dead. Motherless children have a hard time when the mother is dead. They don't have nowhere to go, got to go from door to door. Motherless children have a hard time when the mother's dead.
I should mention, if you're interested in what you're hearing now on the Piedmont Blues, this is our fifth show, and we had four others that were fairly stupendous, covering from Blind Blake.
One, get caught up.
Right, Blind Blake McDuff. You didn't hear them and you're interested, they're all on our website. You could just go to AmericanHitNetwork.com and play any of the shows on demand whenever you want to. The website's any day now, it's going to get a huge update where it's just going to be like great for things like phone use and everything like that. Right now, it's a little bit awkward, but we're going to basically enter the 21st century in about
revamping
in a week or two. So meanwhile, though, you can certainly find the shows on the homepage of the website on Piedmont Blues or on any other of the shows that we've covered here on American Hit Radio, including our Wednesday series. So check it out. Okay, really, we've covered all the people that I want to cover. I did say a few shows earlier when we were playing Blind Boy Fuller that I would maybe try to get back to covering some of his stuff on the last show, just basically as a wrap-up. And I think it would be a good way to end it. So let's play some of, because I always find him to be pretty darn entertaining. Of all the people that we'd heard from, he's the most like bluntly entertaining, at least from my standards. Here's one of his tracks. The Rolling Stones actually named an album after this song, because I think that even the Rolling Stones found it outrageous. The name of the best Rolling Stones live album is actually the name of a song by Blind Boy Fuller. Get Your Ya-Ya's Out. Guitar player. He's just so fun to listen to. You could, you know, the words are entertaining, the melodies are entertaining, but that guitar playing is just stunning.
Stupendous.
This next track you probably know as well. Not that you maybe didn't know the last one, but the title perhaps. But this one was actually covered by Bob Dylan. We actually did a Dylan tribute show not too long ago out at Stony Brook University, and somehow this is one of the songs that we ended up playing for when we were doing our Dylan tribute. Turns out it's a Blind Boy Fuller song. It's called Step It Up and Go.
Step it up and go, well, you can't stand padlocked, well, you got to step it up and go. Got a little girl, she stays upstairs, try to make a living by putting on ass, you got to step it up and go, yeah, yeah. Well, you can't stand padlocked, swear you got to step it up and go. Pray for me now. Yes, yes, yes. Front door shut, back one too. Blind pull down, what you wanna do? Wanna step it up and go, and go. Well, you can't stand paralyzed, man, you gotta step it up and go. Step it up and go, oh yeah. Well, you can't stand paralyzed, man, you gotta step it up and go. Me and my baby walking down the street, telling everybody but the chief police, you gotta step it up and go, yeah. Well, you can't stand paralyzed, swear you gotta step it up and go. Play it again now. Step it up and go, yeah, yeah. Well, you can't stand paralyzed, swear you gotta step it up and go. Why sing this bus, ain't why sing no more. Get my girl, call me, and I got to go. You got to step it up and go, yeah, yeah. Well, you can't stand paralyzed, swear you gotta step it up and go.
This was immense fun. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope we helped you pass an hour listening to some great old blues music out of the Piedmont region. All of this taking place east of the mountain range, but of course, you know, there's somewhere between there, and it's literally it's on the plateau after you get away from like the coastal area. That's where the Piedmont is, mostly South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, and that's what we've been covering. So we'll leave you with one more track, another Blind Boy Fuller song. We'll be back next week with a brand new topic, moving back up to the present. We're going to cover the birds for a few shows. Spend a little bit of time covering the rather complex history of one of America's great bands from the 60s. Meanwhile, here's Blind Boy Fuller with a track. Again, I think you might guess get this down by the title. It's called Truckin' My Blues Away. Take care, everybody.
Gal in this town, best looking brown around. She's a strictly tailor mate, she ain't no hand me down. Catch a truckin' with them, grind a show, shoot you down. Keep on truckin', mama, truckin' my blues away. Truckin' my blues away. Keep on truckin', mama, truckin' my blues away. Keep on truckin', mama, till you truck my blues away. I got a gal, she's little and neat. When she starts truckin', man, it's so sweet. Keep on truckin', mama, truckin' my blues away. Truckin' my blues away. Keep on truckin', baby, truckin' my blues away, yeah. Keep on truckin', baby, truckin' my blues away. I know a gal, she's long and tall. When she starts truckin', make a little man squall. Keep on truckin', mama, truckin' my blues away. I mean, truckin' my blues away, yeah. Keep on truckin', baby, truckin' my blues away. Keep on truckin', mama, truckin' my blues away. Share the dance, she called Biddle Lum Bum. Show me something if you don't truck some. Keep on truckin', mama, truckin' my blues away. Truckin' my blues away. Keep on truckin', baby, truckin' my blues away. Keep on truckin', mama, truckin' my blues away, yeah. You don't have to hurry, don't have to go. Wait a little while, you might wanna truck some more. Keep on truckin', baby, truckin' my blues away. Truckin' my blues away. Keep on truckin', mama, truckin' my blues away, yeah. Keep on truckin', baby, truckin' my blues away. Make a lame man run, make a blind man see. Sure gets good when you're truckin' with me. Keep on truckin', baby.